We're with Dr. Tom Vallone. We're going to take your phone calls with Tom, and his website is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We've been talking about zero-point energy, incredible devices, and also Tesla technology. And welcome back, Dr. Tom Vallone with us. We'll take calls this hour. Tom, let's talk about the conferences that you're going to be at in Albuquerque again. How many speakers? A whole bunch of them?
Yeah, we have like I've got 2 days worth of 7 speakers per day, so 14 speakers on August 10th and 11th. And actually, what's interesting is Josh Reynolds is coming out of hiding for the first time ever, going to talk about all his investments in free energy for the past several decades.
Will any of these little devices be there?
Yeah, actually, Larry Davenport's talking about the Townsend Brown device that he actually back-engineered, the very first British patent. So it's exciting to have people, inventors, talk about the energy and propulsion inventions they're researching.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one of the better conferences, I would say the best conference on an annual basis in the United States.
Where do we rank as a country compared to other countries with this kind of technology?
Oh, that's a good question. And in fact, you're talking about all the different types of renewable energy technology.
Yep.
Well, unfortunately, we're not doing as good as we could be. Concentrated solar, for example, we're falling behind. Wind power, there's European countries that are far ahead. So we're not ranking near the top where we could be. And especially with the current administration, we're actually losing some of the subsidies that wind energy, for example, used to at least be competitive with. But renewable is still growing like crazy. It's the fastest growing type of energy development that's now going to surpass fossil fuels very shortly.
What are some of the best colleges out there, Tom, to train our young people into this kind of technology?
Actually, there's...
MIT, of course.
Yes, of course. But also there's a Colorado-based, I think it's a Colorado State University, and there's a few others in California, for example. But it's interesting that even in Europe, you'll find you know, a lot more enthusiasm for this type of technology that you do in the United States. Because there it's more vital. They have government subsidies and encouragement. Germany, for example, encourages every citizen to actually develop their own renewable energy source, like solar, and sell it back as much as you want to the utilities at a very attractive rate.
What's going on with cold fusion, which is a type of nuclear reaction? Anything happening there?
We've actually represented their movement for a few years. We had a cold fusion, it was called LENRU, I called it, Low Energy Nuclear Reaction Educational Workshop. So I made an acronym out of it, and the results are on our website. But low energy nuclear reactions are definitely very difficult to master. And I'm constantly receiving the Infinite Energy magazine, which I encourage people to subscribe to if they're interested in cold fusion. Christy Frazier is an excellent editor, and it's well-funded. But the industry itself is unusual and difficult because, for example, as McCoubry told us at one of the conferences I attended, he said the palladium, for example, is very difficult to manufacture or even mine properly. And he brought the Italian CEO of a palladium company to the conference just to show the fact there was only one source in the world that he trusted to give good sites in the palladium to nurture the cold fusion reaction.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Ian is in Asheville, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hello, Ian.
Hello, how are you?
Good to see you.
Hi, Tom. I have a big pile of dead batteries. They were store-bought alkaline AAA batteries that I've used in my electronic devices over the years. And they're just sitting here gathering dust. And I also have a friend who had a solar home with an array of solar panels that used to charge a bank of batteries. He ran his home off the bank of batteries. But a few years ago, the batteries would no longer hold a charge, and it was going to be so expensive to replace the batteries and get the old ones shipped out of there that he had to go back on the grid, and so his batteries are just sitting there. And I wanted to ask you about battery rejuvenation technology and generating a form of electric energy that Tesla called radiant energy to take either my AAA batteries or my friend's solar home batteries and get them back to a state where they're usable again.
Sure. I understand there's a great need for that. Actually, that's not an area that we're pursuing. However, I am in touch with Bob Boyce, who's a great friend of mine, and I recommend you go to the website called hydrogengarage.com. Hydrogengarage.com is an excellent source for exactly that. Bob, for example, invented the battery smacker, and that's specifically to desulfate and recharge your batteries.
Do you remember the cold fusion physicist Eugene Maloff, who was murdered?
Yes.
You remember that case? And they finally convicted somebody in that killing.
Yeah. But what, change the subject. Yes, go ahead, George.
What a tragedy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
But you knew him.
Yes, very well, very well.
He was a good guy.
Well, he had great intentions, but he also had a temper, and so he got the robber angry when he was trying to rob his house, and one thing led to another, so... Anyways, there's a lot of we've had a lot of martyrs for the cause. Paul Brown's another good example. You know, I can just go down the list.
Is there anything sinister going on here?
Well, unfortunately, the story on the Tesla Files, which is on the History Channel, history.com/Tesla Files, tells the fact of what Tesla was going through during his lifetime. And it was a sinister plot to really sequester the files that were most important for energy and security reasons.
Have you been threatened or anybody you know to stop doing what you're doing?
I do know of people who have had that experience, yes. And what we found is specifically from Ken Scholder's experience, and I'll just put this real briefly, it's already in print in some of my books, is Ken said, get the information out there, especially overseas.
Fast.
And then when they show up at the door or whatever, you're not the source of the information. It's already got out.
Interesting. There. You seem uncomfortable talking about this. Are you?
Well, I do because I feel like it's a mysterious, you know, a black cloud that you're trying to avoid.
Sure.
And we have no idea what we're talking about.
No. But you do know something's happening. That
right,
you can
of
say.
Course. Of course.
That's the scary part.
You can meditate and concentrate on that, or you can develop the concentration that God's guiding your every activity, and then we have a rosy future if we play our cards right.
Let's go to Hollywood, California. Joyce is now with us. Hey, Joyce, thanks for calling.
Hi. Oh, my gosh, George. We haven't chatted in several years.
It's been a while.
You didn't remember me.
I remember the name, but you were always in Hollywood, weren't you?
I've been in Hollywood for the last 20 years,
yeah.
To be honest.
Okay.
Anyway, I called because as I was listening to him about the gentleman that started walking using this technology, you know, my bell started ringing left and right because, as I don't know if you remember, but I'm a Scanart practitioner. That's spelled S like Sam, C like Cat, Edward, Nancy, Apple, Robert, Scanart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was developed in Russia by neurologist Alexander Ravenko back in the 70s. And during Perestroika, that's when it finally was released to the rest of the world. It's been in the United States, oh, maybe about 20 years now. But what I'd love to know more, because there obviously are some comparisons. I worked on a fellow who had been in the wheelchair 4.5 years, suffered with multiple sclerosis for 11 years, and he had a hard backward C for a spine. His scoliosis was from birth. And just the spine alone corrected. We started working on him once a week because he couldn't come twice. We started on him, I want to say it was end of February, early March, and by December his spine was completely straight.
Wow.
And you know, amazing. I can get you pictures of this. And he took his very first steps. Same time of year, we started him February, March, and he took his very first steps. It was like end of July, early August, and he is still walking today. I haven't worked on him in several years. In fact, I was just on the phone with him about a week ago. And, this technology, the Scanart technology, is phenomenal. It has FDA approval for pain management and muscle reeducation. However, It does much more.
It does more than that. You can't push that. How about the osteopad for something like that, Tom? Would that work?
Well, the Premier Junior is the one that I was talking about in terms of Elliot being able to walk after 4 months of the treatment with the high-voltage 40,000-volt Tesla coil device. Bioenergydevice.org is the website, and we also have an 800 number, 295-7674.
We take your text and tweets. Tom's got one. What do you have, Tom?
This one from James in New Mexico. Tom, you were talking about water out of thin air. Would this be more of an infinite or finite source of water? And can you please talk more about this?
Well, this is an ongoing competition right now. And there are several winners, I would say, that are actually getting close to the final goal of receiving that prize. The prize, let me give you the website, https://water.xprize.org.
How big would the device have to be to get a significant amount of water, Tom?
It's not very big. Some of these devices, in fact, the MIT story, which you can see on our news page, the very last, latest month from May, we actually, in the intro, described MIT's sponge-like device that sucks water out of the air. But this competition is a $2 million, $1.75 million competition. It's Water Abundance X Prize. And it has to extract a minimum of 2,000 liters of water per day from the atmosphere using 100% renewable energy at a cost of no more than 2 cents per liter.
Now, 2,000 liters of water would be how many gallons would you look out there in little plastic bottles? Quite a bit.
Yeah, I'll go with quite a bit.
Quite a bit. And when you get the drinkable water, do you have to refilter it, or is it clean coming in?
Well, that's the other question. Normally they do filter them, and in this case, I know the inventors that are already, there's five finalists, for example, they all include filtration as well, because you never know.
Are these all individuals or big companies who are trying to invent this too?
They're small companies. I'm just clicking on it right now for the finalists. Hydro Harvest Operation from Australia, Skydra, United States, Uravu from India, the Varagon Thin Air Partnership in UK, and the JMCC Wing from United States.
If they don't win the grant, they can still go out and form their business and try to develop their product, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. We're as they say, climate change is going to produce desert areas as we see now in various Middle East countries and also in the Midwest, more forest fires. We're going to have a need for this very soon. And I'm glad they're doing the X Prize now.
David in Anchorage, Alaska. Welcome to the program, David. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
Hi, Dave.
And Tom, it's an honor to be able to talk to you. I found you serendipitously because I was speaking to an old guy years ago in a cafe, and we were talking about technologies and different projects that he'd worked on. And I asked, and since he worked on exotic aircraft, I asked him how high he'd ever flown, because I knew that oftentimes they have the engineers fly in some of the earlier flights. And he said 100 miles. And I said, so you're an astronaut. And he said, and his wife kicked him when he said that, because he wasn't supposed to tell him.
It was all hush-hush, wasn't it?
And he was flying a anti-gravity craft that he'd worked with in Southern California. He gave me quite a bit of the skinny on it, but he said that one of his coworkers on this thing was a guy named Thomas Townsend Brown. And I'd never heard of Thomas Townsend Brown before, so I wrote all this down and got on the internet and looked up all the information that he had given me, and it was confirmed in other areas. And so, but also looking up Thomas Townsend Brown, I found you.
Oh, Tom's all over the map.
Yeah, I found I found Mr. Vallone, or Dr. Vallone, in the research and some of the stuff that you had printed on there. So it's an honor for me to speak to you, sir.
Thank you. And what's your question?
One of the reasons I was able to talk with him for as long as we did was because we were talking about zero-point energy. And, I think that one of the things that people don't understand is that has a lot of different names, and you don't have to get to absolute zero to get to zero-point energy. It's right. around us all the time.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, the stars are up in the sky even when the sun's out. It doesn't matter whether the sun's there or not. The stars are still there, and the same zero-point energy. It's there when it's 75 degrees outside.
That's why I wrote a book on it, Zero-Point Energy, Fuel of the Future.
And so how have you seen any of the machines that actually pull this zero-point energy into a usable energy?
I would say yes, and that's not only why I wrote the book, but also why we're presenting this on Saturday night on August 10th at the Tesla.org conference. I'm very excited about the Manelis device. We'll have a surprise guest to tell eyewitness experiences with it. And besides that, our magnetic motor will be sort of the sleeper of the year coming out at the end of the year, showing that this actually can be utilized. Magnets themselves are zero-point energy quantum vacuum devices. They have spinning electrons that spin forever. And I've seen scientists on TV shows saying, the electrons in these mountains behind me have been spinning since eons. So
zero,
all around us, we just have to use it.
Zero-point energy could be obtained from a number of different devices, right?
Thank you. Thank you, George. Exactly. And that's why the book is very important, because there's lots of different ways you can access it.
Amazing.
And it's called negative energy, because it's not necessarily just the zero-point part. It's everything below it that we don't see.
What would it replace in terms of our energy types today?
Everything. That's
really?
The point. And, in fact, it can be dangerous. You know, there's military interest in it, too. If it becomes explosive, if you concentrate too much of it. I mean, there's a story about Teller calling up Fleshman just as he finished his 1989 lecture. He said, can you make a bomb out of cold fusion? And Martin Fleshman denied it. He said, no, you can't. It's another explosion from high-concentrated experiments, cold fusion experiments. So this is a very controversial subject when you get into it.
How many books have you written now?
It's about a dozen. I've got over 100 articles.
And you've edited a couple as well, right?
Yes. In fact, we'll have our best of our conference on future energy, 10 conferences, and the proceedings will be coming out next year.
Tom, give out your website again, please.
The best ones I would offer, since we're trying to keep our institute going, is osteopad.org. bioenergydevice.org, or the main page is integrityresearchinstitute.org.
And you can get to all those other sites just from your main one, can't you?
Yeah, the homepage.
Okay, stick with us. We're going to come back in a moment with Dr. Tom Ballone. We're going to take final phone calls with him as we talk about all these things we've been talking about, including zero-point energy, Nikola Tesla, these incredible devices that are out there on the market. Can you imagine what they will do for medicine and mainstream healing in 5 years, 10 years? Truly remarkable. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Our luncheon series underway July 10th in Los Angeles. Sonia Grace, our faith energy mystic healer, will be our special guest. I will be there with her. Send an email with your phone number to make reservations at lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com, and you will be called back with details. lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment here with Dr. Tom Ballone as we talk about all his work in the field of zero-point energy, Tesla technology, and these incredible devices. Of all of these things you've come across, Tom, in your career, is there one product here that just really excites you the most?
Well, in terms of, you know, health-related stuff, you mean?
Health-related, energy-related, just that one big one.
Well, the big one is the energy Manelis device I'll be talking about on August 10th. So in terms of energy, that's the greatest. Propulsion-wise, we have an amazing guy that retired from Boeing, and he's got a control moment gyroscope that he's developing, a tabletop device that actually produces force and causes the thing to move across the table. So we're doing energy and propulsion. But in bioenergetics, I would say our EM Pulsar is the most popular. It's a small handheld device. We can use it on the prostate, for example, on your back. I've used it all over my body. And you use it as soon as you feel the irritation or pain of whatever condition you might have, because as Dr. Gordon said, and we supply a DVD with the product for free, he explains that it mobilizes the heat shock protein 70 right to the site. So we use the Pulsar almost every day.
How soon do you get results on something like that? When do you start feeling better?
Within 20 minutes.
That's amazing.
And that's how fast the pulsing magnetic field, when it's a high, fast raise, fast rise time, nanosecond rise time, that's the secret. It's not how intense it is. A lot of these pulsers are out there with, you know, huge amounts of magnetic fields, and actually that's kind of dangerous because you can induce electroporation.
Right.
So.
And not every LED light works, right?
Right, exactly.
I've seen some things from China that, you know, I look at it and I go, I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, and they're welcome to call their 888 number as well, 802-5243, or the website, bioenergydevice.org.
I remember my dad, Tom, back in 1960, God rest his soul now, but he had a device that had like a red infrared bulb at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And he would use it on his shoulders and his arms. What was that?
Too. In fact, it switched from ultraviolet to infrared. That's funny. Our parents
Is that what that was?
Yeah, you see, we started with our childhood, and then we started looking for it as adults.
Yeah.
Where is that thing?
It's amazing. Yeah. He liked it.
Thank you for mentioning that.
It worked for him.
Exactly. And see, this is 100-year-old science. That's why my book, Bioelectromagnetic Healing, documents the fact that the Flexner Report in 1910 stopped all of this, and the AMA and the FDA conspired to let pharmaceuticals give us monthly bills.
Let's go to Tom for a text or tweet here. What do you have, Tom?
This one's from Elizabeth in Valrico, Florida. Is it true that Tesla built one of the first ever wireless-controlled boats? Can you please talk about this?
A wireless-controlled boat. Did he have that, Tom?
It is absolutely true. And, in fact, that's why the Tesla Files on the History Channel, which has been on Friday nights now for the past month, has been pretty fascinating because they actually showed that. They demonstrated it. And he doesn't get much credit for remote control, and yet he was the first. Also, by the way, when you're talking about Tesla and the various Integratron stuff, there's an L.A. screening of the Calling All Earthling movies in L.A. at the Aria Fine Arts on Wilshire Boulevard, June 29th, 30th, July 1st, all the way through the 5th.
Was his partner Westinghouse, and Westinghouse couldn't figure out how to make money with his stuff, so they pulled out?
Yeah, well, more importantly, Westinghouse told Tesla he couldn't pay him the dollar amount per kilowatt that he was
that he promised
entitled
him.
To. And so Tesla said, no problem, we'll just tear up the contract, thinking that Westinghouse would come back with something more reasonable, and he never did.
He never did.
Which is really sad.
And did Tesla get along with Thomas Edison?
Not at all. Are you kidding?
They hated
Tesla
each other.
A similar thing where he pulled the rug out from under him after he promised him $50,000.
Edison promised that to Tesla?
Yes.
Sounds like old Tesla was naive with these people, huh?
Absolutely. He was too naive.
Yeah.
Trusting in humanity.
Yep. He believed too many people. Okay, let's go to the phones at our final segment here. We'll go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Hello, Wayne. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi there.
I've got a list of free energy devices that I pulled off the web about, it was 2002, and this is from Hadrick.com. You probably know that. It's called INE Devices and Database, and I've looked for it recently, and it's down. They pulled it down. But a lot of the names on there you will recognize, of course. And I'll just read off maybe several of them.
Sure.
Comment on this slide. The nonlinear shuttle circuit, which I believe was used in the wireless car that Nikola Tesla made. That's one of them. My favorite one is the noble gas engine, which uses kind of a conventional motor using noble gases by Joseph Papp.
Yeah, the PAP engine is amazing. We've developed not only a report on it, but also there's a Brian Wood who's actually pursuing this as either a movie, documentary, or a book, or all three. So he's got to the bottom of how the PAP engine is real, but it's been suppressed.
Isn't there an engine that runs on compressed air too, Tom?
Yes, yes. And in fact, we actually supported that and showed a little video at one of the conferences. Unfortunately, you still have to have a source of energy to produce the compressed air. So it's not a real energy source. But even this water book that Maury King has now written, Water, the Key to New Energy, the Jenkins device is a good example of one that seems to do better when you add fog, water fog, in other words, to a combustion engine. And in fact, I've had Jim Dunn testify that he went to see Walter Jenkins, saw the demo, and is a believer now that the Walter Jenkins invention is actually real and uses almost no fuel.
What else do you have for us, Wayne?
The Moray Radiant Energy Equipment by Henry T. Moray is
very famous. Another mystery. Yep. Absolutely. And it's probably real, too, because it used a radium device but still had more energy output than the small little radium piece could account for.
There must be hundreds of these inventions out there, Tom.
Yeah, there really are. And luckily, the Manelis device with a ceramic that's very anomalous seems to be, you know, one that we can put our fingers on. But a lot of them have been so elusive that, you know, they come and go and there's not good documentation. A few years later, the inventor's gone. You know.
Let's go to Amber in Alexandria, Alabama, on the wild card line. Hello, Amber. Go ahead.
Hey, George. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to talk to you.
Last you talked to me, I was in Kutztown, Pennsylvania at school.
Now you've moved back, huh?
I am a nomad by nature. Some would call me an errant little quantum particle.
I love it. Well, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Yes. Tom.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to start. This stuff is so cool. But because these energy sources do work and they appear to, is it fair to say that the laws of thermodynamics are flawed? And my second question, this is probably going to go above a bunch of people's heads, but does zero-point energy have anything to do with properties or mechanics of the quantum Hall effect? And possibly even the generation of portals or microscopic wormholes.
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Well, only you can answer that, Tommy.
The thermodynamics laws have been modified. They continue to be modified. The first and second law are being undermined already. We see superconductive circuits that perpetuate. In other words, indefinitely. So it's amazing how closed systems versus open systems can modify the thermodynamic laws. But your other parts of that question is really getting into more quantum theory that may or may not be necessary. And of course, this is something that theorists are great at producing lots of different descriptions of microscopic wormholes and various other ways that energy can be coming out of the vacuum. But as George already explained, and my book, Zero Point Energy, Fuel of the Future, explains, there's lots of different devices, even your human body, that already uses quantum energy. You know, the electron and the nucleus, for example, are oppositely charged, and yet they don't collapse. Vacuum energy, the quantum virtual particles keep the electron away from the nucleus.
How?
So we're benefiting by vacuum energy every day, and it provides real pressure that keeps all of our cells alive and at a certain distance, and really, in a way, provides life and energy that we can actually motivate. And like, for example, one of my heroes is Wim Hof. He climbed Mount Everest in his shirt sleeves. So Wim Hof Method, for example, .com, I already subscribed to it. I'm going to start taking his course. He's trained thousands of people to be able to survive in freezing cold water.
How close are we, Tom, to be able to get our houses off the power grid and be self-sufficient?
We are very close to revolutionary change in the way we use energy. And we are, I would say, 5 years out.
Wow.
That's the exciting part.
That would be dramatic.
Yep.
Truly
yep.
dramatic.
Well, we're getting to the desperate stage where there's lots of changes, as you know, politically and internationally and so forth. And, hey, our population's continuing to grow. We're going to see another 50% increase in just a few decades. So we're in trouble. And obviously that's the pressure we need to come up with a revolution.
East of the Rockies, James in Beaumont, Texas with us. James, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I heard you speak of the 40,000 volt Tesla unit. Is that the same as the violet ray?
It, you know, people ask that all the time, and I tell them, yes, you can go ahead and buy a cheap violet ray for less than 10,000 volt machine. They're called beauty machines online.
Do they work?
Yeah, they work great, as long as you don't really care what they do.
What are they supposed to?
They look a little bit better, a wrinkle might disappear, and that's about it. But people that have violet rays come back and buy our 40,000 volt, four times the strength, and it does the real job of in deep tissue repair.
Do dermatologists buy these things too?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but clinicians and doctors and chiropractors, we have all kinds of professional people that buy them and then use all the different comb tubes and mushroom tubes and Y tubes. And specifically for various reasons that we don't even know until they send their testimonial in, say, oh, wow, now it's good for that too. How about that? So
let's go to Toronto, Canada. Fausto's with us. Welcome to the show, Fausto.
Hi, George Norrie.
Hi there.
I don't know how many of your listeners since on or about the year 2006, when I had my sleepless nights. I'm calling on behalf of myself, other people who are in need, including Maria, and to make sure she can get rid of her arthritis, and Nicole, just so she can avoid arthritis, and myself as well. Now, I don't know what the long-term side effects are. We know that the coral reef mac I've been listening to for decades, George.
Yeah.
He had oversized cranium, oversized hands and feet when he died. I don't know if he used electrical devices of any sort. And I don't like to believe the hype and follow excitement. I like to follow facts. We don't know what the long-term, well, maybe you do, doctor. I don't know what the long-term side effects are of these fancy devices. I don't pack much of a belief in promises and hype. I don't know what the long-term side effects are, but I'd love to know which device, if you could please make it clear, can get rid of or cure bipolar, depression, cancer, osteoarthritis, and rheumatoid arthritis.
Or maybe none of the above. We don't talk about, we don't say cure, or we talk about helping and assisting. But go ahead, Tom.
There you go. Yeah, and then the FDA disclaimer, obviously, is we don't, none of these products
can't say cure.
Prescribed and so forth. So actually, as I mentioned before, and it's on our bioenergydevice.org webpage, you click on the doctor's health information, there's a Q&A about arthritis. So the Impulsor is one that Dr. Glenn Gordon developed. And I might mention that all of these devices we've talked about on osteopad.org or bioenergydevice.org really are developed with a 30-day trial period. 30 day money-back guarantee. They're experimental devices. They're based on the Tesla technology. Bioelectromagnetic Healing book explains the theory behind it, but you are the final judge. You try it out. Electrotherapy is a 100-year-old practice. Even doctors now are buying these devices and reselling them because they're not even being taught the same science in their med school.
Do these products have to go through some kind of FDA scrutiny or anything like that?
You know, if they do, such as what Dr. Gordon experienced, they literally came back and shut him down by requiring more and more studies and investment. And he finally closed his company when the FDA showed up the second time after he already had approval. And then told him he had to spend another $30,000 for some other testing and documentation. So the FDA oftentimes can be a problem, and what we do is simply put disclaimers like everybody else does and allow the consumer to decide.
How far?
If you don't like it, send it back, get a refund.
How far in advance was someone like Royal Rife with his devices?
He was actually interesting, and I might mention quickly that the Rife device is interesting in terms of the intent of killing germs and the Rife frequencies. Dr. James Baer was one of our speakers at our COFI 2, I believe it was, and he had developed a Rife device. But see, the Rife technology is devised to kill germs with specific frequencies. However, the Lakowski philosophy is to provide a range of frequencies like a Tesla coil does from the Spark app, and therefore the body absorbs what it needs.
Super. Tom, we are out of time. Good luck. And once again, give us your main website where people can track you.
Sure. Bioenergydevice.org, integrityresearchinstitute.org, 800-295-7674.
Super. Tom, thank you. And let's not let 10 years go by next time.
Okay. I will.
How old will you be in 10 years?
77.
All right. Well, that's still young, but let's get you on before that, okay?
Sounds good, George.
All right. Dr. Tom Vallone. Up next, an amazing story about what was happening during World War II. If you're into history, stay right where you are. We'll be back.